My name is Julie Tai, and I am the Director of Chapel at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studios' audio stream of sermons drawn from campus chapels and preachers throughout our extended community.
We're going to hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Luke in Armenian. We rav vor yer inka kima mecher, ahamartma poroduchunov letsun yer pisus desav, yer esivara inga lov, agachetanor, usav. Der, yete uzes gernasis makrel, yefisus ir tserke yergensnelov tabavanor, usav, kuzem, makreve, yefshudma poroduchuna ange kanats. U ink badviretsanor vor martu chese haba asav kana kez kahanain tsutsur yev mofsesi badvirankin bes kez makuchun anzan dur anons vagayuchun alalu hamar yev anor varayov khoska avelig daradzver ushadjorovut nerge jorvein medig anelu yev anov idens hivantuchun neren pejushke velu U ink anabadin derer gekachver, kashver yev arot gener. This is the word of the Lord.
I want you to imagine with me this morning a little bit more of the life story of this man who has this amazing encounter with Jesus. I want you to try to use your imaginations to walk with me back into his life before this snapshot we have. And what it was like for him as he first saw that first spot on his hand. Maybe he came home from work and he noticed that something was there that hadn't been there before. And the next day or two, the spot begins to grow. In a matter of just a few days, it's actually covered his whole hand. And he's afraid he knows what this means. And he begins trying to hide his hand in denial. Not wanting to face that maybe this is the beginning of a death sentence for him. But after a while, he can't hide it anymore. And it's even his own wife who becomes afraid and anxious and begs him to go to the priest. Because it was the priest at that time who would be the one to declare you unclean. And she became to be afraid for herself, for their children, for their neighbors. So he goes to the priest, and the priest says to him, as was the custom, you need to stay here with me for 2 weeks, and we need to see what happens with this sore. And after the 2 weeks, yes, the priest decides, you are no longer Simon the tanner of leather. You are now a leper. Not just a person with leprosy, but this is now your new identity. You are a leper. You cannot go home and say goodbye to your wife and your children. You are to go immediately outside of the city walls, and you're going to live there for the rest of your life. In accordance with the Mosaic law, you're going to leave your hair unkempt. You will wear torn clothing. You'll cover the lower half of your mouth, of your face. And whenever anyone comes near you, you will shout out, unclean, unclean. Because that is who you are now. For some of these people, their family would bring them food once a day outside of the city wall. And some families were amazingly faithful and would do that all of the time that this person would live. Usually the life course after diagnosis was around 9 years. Other families weren't so gracious and generous. And they would actually hold a funeral service and call that family member dead. And so they literally would have no one. And although we do know that leprosy is contagious, what we've learned now and what they didn't know then is it's actually less contagious than the common cold. Lepers were considered the living dead, kind of ancient world zombies. Life without touch. Can you try to imagine this for a minute? Life without touch. When you're sad, no one to embrace you. Never be kissed again. an identity of being a danger to others, having to shout out, maybe on a daily basis, I am unclean. Don't come near me. I've not had leprosy, and I've never met or even seen a person with leprosy, but I have felt unclean. And I have treated other people at times as if they are unclean. We human beings do this to each other, don't we? We set up barriers of who is clean and who is unclean. We do it out of ignorance. We do it out of fear. We're somehow afraid that we're going to be contaminated at times by another person who doesn't look like us, or smell like us, or believe like us, or behave like us. We're afraid somehow that is going to end up encroaching inside of our very being. And so we want a way. It is into this very broken reality that Mark preached last week that Jesus unrolls the scroll and says, I have come to bring good news to the poor. I've come to give sight to the blind and release to the captive and freedom to those who are oppressed. And as I read this story, this man with leprosy had at least three out of those four. And he may have been blind as well, because that was one consequence of leprosy at times, was impaired eyesight. But you know what? Even if this man with leprosy, although he surely was a captive, he was poor, he was oppressed, and he may not have seen very well, but this man was not blind, was he? Because he saw something. Thank God that this man saw something in Jesus that I don't think maybe anyone else in the story saw at that time. That he saw that he was in the presence of God. He was in the presence of the only one that could make him clean. He doesn't run up to him and say, will you pray to God and make me well? He says, if you want to, you can make me well. It wasn't even so much a request. This was an affirmation of faith. This man saw something about Jesus that I don't think maybe anyone else saw at that time. And you know what's so fascinating to me is to look just a few verses before in the very same chapter of Luke. Do you remember what happens when Jesus first meets Peter in the boat? When he's at the beginning of the same chapter of Luke, he's calling the disciples. And he gets in the boat with Peter when Peter's not caught any fish, and he tells him to put the nets over to this side, and this amazing catch of fish happens. And Peter realizes, like this leper did, that he's in the presence of the Holy One. But what does Peter say? Depart from me, Lord. Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Isn't that interesting? To look at these very different responses to being in the presence of the Holy God. One is, get away from me, Lord. I am not worthy of you. Which may sound holy and righteous, and maybe there was some of that in there. But you know what I else hear very loud in there? Is shame. I hear shame. I hear fear. Those things that separate us. And you know what else I almost hear? And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I hear a tinge of pride. And it's interesting how shame and pride sometimes live together. Because they can look very much like the opposite kind of thing. But I think there's almost a pridefulness in Peter of not wanting to truly acknowledge the depth of his need and his complete inability to ever become a not sinful man. It's almost as if I'm a sinful man. Give me some time, Lord. I'll make it right, and then we can hang out together. I remember my sister, who died when she was 33 years old of alcoholism. And I remember her telling me many, many times when I was a new Christian. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. She was 18 months younger than I was. And I wanted to bring her to church with me. I so badly wanted to introduce her to the Lord. And she would say to me, Laura, just give me some time. I want to have some fun first, and then I'll become a Christian. There was this sense of, I kind of don't want to be holy right now. Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. I don't know all of what was in that for Peter, but I'm deeply moved by the contrast of the leper, who has a very, very different response. The man, it says, who was full of leprosy, ran to Jesus, put his face on the ground. Now, this man somehow, with I don't know how many years he'd had leprosy, but it says he was full of leprosy, so it was probably quite advanced. It is a miracle of the grace of God that with all of that he had to go through all those years, this man somehow still had enough of a sense of self that he could take a risk like he did. He had the courage he did. He had the vulnerability he did. Listen to these words. Let these words soak into you for a minute. When he says, I am unclean. If you want to, you can make me well. Somehow it almost feels like what a lover would say. There's a tenderness and a vulnerability of that. Do you want to be with me? Am I worth this to you? Is my life worth this to you, God? What an enormous risk he was taking. He already could have absolutely been, and probably as he ran towards Jesus, people were yelling at him. They could have been throwing rocks at him for doing this thing that was absolutely against the law. But in this vulnerability, he comes to the Lord, if you want to. Do you want to? Shame separates us. Shame disrupts relationships. My friend Kurt Thompson, who just wrote a marvelous book called The Soul of Shame, he's a psychiatrist, and he looks at what's called interpersonal neurobiology, and he talks about, as they've done brain research, on what's actually happening in the brain when the emotion of shame is being experienced by a person. That what's happening in the brain is the parts of the brain stem and the limbic system is what's activated. And that's what's called more of the reptilian part of our brain. The fight or flight or freeze part of our brain. The part of our brain that's activated when we're traumatized. And what happens to the prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain where we can reflect and we can make choices and we can learn from experience and we can ask for help. All of the higher functioning of our brain gets shut down. And so we're reacting out of much less than who we're really made to be. That's what shame does to the brain. And it disintegrates the brain. Different parts of the brain that function best when they're in relationship to each other are detached from one another. So many parts of our brain we don't have access to. And the same thing happens in relationships. When I'm motivated by shame, what do? I lie, I hide. I'm not able to bring myself to a place of healing, into the presence of God. Into the presence of brothers and sisters who could carry me to God, which is, in fact, the story that comes right after this one. It's detached, it's dissociated, it shuts down. And basically, the message of shame is you are not enough. And what Peter says is, I am not enough, Lord. Please, depart from me. The vulnerability of this man with leprosy has so much to teach us about our relationship with God. You know, there's something about vulnerability that I think is really interesting. Vulnerability is not a choice. Do you know that? You don't choose to be vulnerable or not vulnerable. You are vulnerable. I am vulnerable. It's why we wear clothes and shoes and have insurance and spend a lot of time trying to control things. Because we're very aware somewhere deep down that we are incredibly vulnerable. And the truth is we were created this way, naked and unashamed. We were created to be vulnerable. We were created to need one another and to need God and to not be ashamed and afraid of our real self before one another and before God. But most of us don't live that way very well or very often. And the other part about vulnerability that just is so deeply moving to me is we serve a vulnerable God, don't we? We serve a God that was open to being wounded and rejected. We serve a vulnerable God that was open to death. So in this passage, we not only see a way that we are to bring this message of release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed and sight to the blind. But we learn something from this man who is oppressed and blind and imprisoned and captive. We learn something from him, because the people that have the least to lose often can risk the most. And the vulnerability of this man suffering from leprosy is a beautiful picture to you and to me about how our life was meant to be. That his soul, his inner being, although he had been called a leper all his life, his soul and his inner being had somehow still retained this courage and this tenderness and this ability to risk and to run to Jesus and declare his faith. It makes me think of that verse in Hebrews 4:16. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When is the last time you did that? The last time I did that is when I was terrified about a situation with one of our kids, and I was filled with vulnerability. And the thing that I keep learning is that if only I can take that experience of when I feel stripped and vulnerable and try to live that way more every day, that I can really live with that sense of desperate need, my vitality and my connection to God and to the body of Christ will be what I really long for that to be. So may God's Spirit fill each one of us with this boldness. And in a minute, as we receive the body and the blood of Christ, may you receive this gift of Jesus as a gift to each one of you, of Jesus saying, I want to make you clean. And it is only my life and my death and my resurrection and my Spirit that can give you that cleanness. And whatever that is that you are wrestling with right now in your life, like the leper, we all have some part of ourselves that we feel afraid at times to even talk about. And it's those places that we hide, those places that we feel ashamed of, that are the places most that Jesus wants to get at in us. That's where we need to be delivered. That's where we need to feel freedom and be given sight and be given release. So as you listen to this piece of music before communion, as you prepare to receive these elements, will you let the Spirit reveal to you what are those places that you need to ask for the cleansing, love, and grace of Jesus today? Let's pray together. Loving God, I'm so grateful that you are not afraid of our uncleanness, that you cross these boundaries all the time where other people may even be afraid to touch us or be close to us. And you come after us, and you look us in the eyes, and you touch us, and you draw us to yourself, and you tell us, I want you to be whole. I love you, and I want you to be whole. May we humble ourselves, God, and let your Spirit make us aware of those places where we need wholeness. And as we come to your table, we are so grateful that you will feed us and nurture us and strengthen us right where we need that spiritual strength. So thank you for your word. Thank you for this table. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.